Good morning. Thank you all for coming this morning. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Day. It's good to see each one of you here today. I want to thank you, those who have helped in the service preparing it. Ushers, thank you for helping. I want to begin today with our scripture reading. It's going to be from Mark 16, verses 1 to 6, and I'm reading from the New International Version. The Bible says that when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." Would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, Heavenly Father, thank you for the good news that Jesus is alive. Thank you that it's not only good news, but a message that changes lives when we trust in Christ and are born again. A message that, as we just sang, makes life worth living. Lord, I pray that you will be present today, encourage our hearts, bring comfort to those who are grieving. We pray especially for the Christians in Sri Lanka this morning. Many who've lost loved ones in the bombings that took place there. Father, we pray that you'll bring them comfort and that, Father, out of this, a testimony for Jesus will go forth and that people will find Christ, the risen Savior, as their Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, as you know, my name is Christian Becker, and I've been a Christian since the day I was born, but in name only. The real thing came later. I became a real Christian when I was old enough to know that Jesus Christ, who he was, and I chose to follow him as my Lord and my Savior. The Bible says the only way to be a Christian, a Christ follower, is to be born again. Born again. Today I want to tell you why I'm born again. Why I took the gift of a risen Savior and not the gamble of religion. My father's name was John Becker. As a young man, my father played the saxophone. He played a hot saxophone in the Chicago dance band, and he was good. He lived for pleasure. And one day, a friend introduced him to Jesus Christ. When he became a Christian, he put his faith in Jesus Christ, and it changed his life. He left the dance band, and he helped start a new church, and eventually God led him to become a pastor. I grew up with parents who loved me. They raised me in a Christian home. That's my family there when I was about 9 or 10 years old, and I'm on the left side, if you can't tell. I have a brother and sister. And they loved me. They took us to church. Sunday was my favorite day of the week. I love going to church. And I learned in church and through my family how God created the world. I heard about how Adam and Eve disobeyed God, how a serpent and led them to basically break God's beautiful world. And that's why the world we live in is so broken. I heard about Jesus, how he died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin. And I heard how Christ rose from the dead to give us a brand new life. As a child, I heard that God loved me. I learned that he wanted to forgive me for my sin. I didn't realize it then, but I now know that I believed in something called karma. Have you ever heard of karma? Do you know what karma is? Another word for karma is justice. If I was bad, I was punished. If I was good, I got what was coming to me. And when my brother was mean to me, I really wanted him to be punished. I still thought that if I tried hard, I could be perfect. Maybe you've been tempted to think that way too. But even as a little boy, I saw that no matter how hard I tried, I didn't always behave as I should. I tried to obey my parents. The Bible says, children, what? Obey your parents in the Lord. And I thought, well, if I try really hard, I can do that. But sometimes I didn't want to do that. Truth be known. I tried to get along with my older brother, but eventually we would do what brothers do. Yes, I also discovered I was selfish, and I would get angry, and that would upset my parents and disappoint them. And as a result, I knew that I was a sinner. Nobody had to tell me that. Nobody had to tell me that. And I knew I needed help. So one day as a schoolboy, I took God at his word that he loved me and he forgave me in Christ. That Jesus' death on the cross provides forgiveness of sins. His resurrection proved that he could give us a new life. I had offended God. I had offended my parents. I knew I was selfish and self-centered and unkind. And I knew I needed someone to save me from myself. The Bible says that Jesus was kind to others. He came to serve, not be served. I tried, but I couldn't be like him all the time. I tried. I really tried. But when a person trusts in Christ and follows him, the Bible says that God's Holy Spirit comes to live in them and gives them the ability to live for God and obey him. And so I trusted Christ and I was born again as an 8-year-old boy. Right away, I had joy and a peace in my heart that I never had before. I couldn't explain it. I knew that God loved me. I knew I was his child. I knew my sins were forgiven. I knew that I had traded hell for heaven. I knew all that as an 8-year-old boy. Then, as a teenager, and yes, that's me as a teenager, I had a crisis of faith. I learned about other religions. I learned about atheists. What's an atheist? Somebody that doesn't believe in God. That's right. They don't believe in God. How did I know what to believe? And so I studied the Bible. My dad actually blessed me with a study Bible, and I was able to look up answers to questions that I had. And one day, I remember as a young adult, my father said to me, he said, "Chris, it's time you lost your parents' faith and got one of your own." And I knew exactly what he meant, because up to that point, I've been kind of living on my parents' faith, and I think that's normal. But as a young man, now then as a husband, I had to take leadership and trust Christ for myself and my family. It was time for truth to be more important to me than traditions. It was time for me to know and trust God on my own. I imagine maybe you found yourself in a similar situation. Maybe your family didn't practice any religion, or maybe they did, and you found yourself wondering, is this really true? And then you weren't sure what to believe. And sooner or later, folks, we all come to a crisis of faith. We must examine what we believe, why we believe it. Folks, listen, we need to choose. We all must choose what we believe in life. We don't choose the family we're born into, but when we're old enough to understand, we must personally decide what we're going to believe in. It's important because what we believe determines how we behave. What we believe determines how we behave. We must choose between karma and forgiveness. I like this. Karma, you get what you deserve. Grace is what the Bible teaches. And grace teaches that Jesus got what you deserve so that you can get what he deserves, and that's to be a son of God. Did you ever think of that? Karma, you get what you deserve. Grace, Jesus got what you deserve so you get what he deserves. You have to choose. You have to choose. You have to decide whether you're going to pay for your own sin or accept Christ's payment for sin. Only one leads to eternal salvation. Only one. A number of years ago, I went to Trinidad for a couple mission trips, and I met many Hindus. Hindus believe in many gods, and they believe in endless reincarnations. The reason for those endless reincarnations is so that you can pay for your sin and maybe get better and better and better. Do you believe in reincarnation? One poll found that 25% of Americans believe in reincarnation, that they existed in a previous life. If you believe that, you need to choose between endless rebirths or the new birth in Christ. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. You need to remember this. Your salvation is either a gift or a gamble. It's either a gift or a gamble. It's either a gift from God or a gamble on which religion is right. Because there's a lot of religions out there and they don't all believe the same thing. In some cases they believe opposite things. So which is it? We need to answer this question carefully, and it's a matter of faith. You know, we're not the first to face this question of faith, the answer that we seek is in God's Word, the Bible. It's a reliable record of what God has said and what we need to do. Some people say, well, you know, it was written by men. You can't trust it. You know what? I teach history sometimes, and we have history books. You've read history books. They're written by men. Do you believe what they say in those books happened? Sure, we all believe George Washington lived, right? We have an even more sure word, the Bible says, that God inspired the Bible, so we know that it's true. So when it comes to matters of faith, people like to give their opinion, but you know what? My opinion doesn't matter when God has spoken. We need to know what he says. We need to know what he says. Jesus declared in John chapter 3, he said, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is what? Born again. I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. For flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Here's why reincarnation wouldn't work. If all we needed were a new body, then rebirth over and over would do. But if there is something wrong with the me inside the body, changing my body doesn't solve that problem. We need a spiritual birth to be born again on the inside. And that's why the Bible says flesh gives birth to flesh. But you need God's Spirit to change your spirit, to give birth to spirit. Folks, listen to me. God sent his Son Jesus to die on the cross and rise again so that he could give you, me, and everyone the free gift of eternal life. So you could be born again. And here's the best part. You don't have to work yourself to death keeping religious rules to get that eternal life, hoping to be good enough. The Bible says that salvation is not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Could it be any clearer? And yet so many people believe that when they get to heaven, it's going to be, you know, the good works have to outweigh the bad works. And the Bible says it's not by works of righteousness. That's not how we do it. The best part of the gospel is that Jesus did it all for you and me. Salvation and adoption into God's family is a free gift from God to all who will accept it because he wants a personal relationship with you. The author C.S. Lewis said, the Son of God became a man to enable men to become the sons of God. I like that. He became one of us so that we could become like him. But you need to decide, will you accept God's free gift or will you gamble your eternal soul on which religion is right? It literally is a gift or a gamble. And here's the amazing truth of the Bible. If you don't get anything, get this today. You can know God through Jesus Christ. You can know God through Jesus Christ. The God of the Bible is a personal and a loving God. I discovered you could know him and draw close to him through a relationship with Jesus Christ. But our sin keeps us from getting close to God and even maybe not even making it possible for us to know him at all. And so he sent Christ to die for our sins. And if we receive the forgiveness he offers, we can know God. That's the amazing truth of the Bible. Now, perhaps the idea of forgiveness is new to you. But God can do anything, and he made a way so that he could forgive us. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Bible says, read it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The Bible says that God so loved the world. He's a personal being who is involved with his creation. He didn't just set the world in motion, spin it off, and say, now let's see what happens. He says he loves us. He loves his creation. What did he love? He loved the world, the Bible says. Isn't this the greatest love there is? The greatest love of all? He loves not just the world, but also his special creation people. He loves you. He loves me. He always has and he always will. He even loves those who don't believe he exists. He loves atheists. That's hard to believe, but he does. He does. Name any kind of sinner there is and he loves them. He doesn't love their sin, but he loves the person. He loves the person. The message of the Bible is that God loves us just like a parent loves their children. And many of us here are parents. And wouldn't you agree you love your kids no matter what they do? Sometimes it breaks your heart, the things they do, but you still love them. And God is an even better parent than that, isn't He? He loves you no matter what. He always has and He always will. According to the Bible, God's defining character trait is love. He loves every man, every woman, and child on the face of the earth, regardless of race, regardless of tradition, their religion, regardless of where they live. He loves them all. God loved us before we loved Him. He loves us so much that if we let Him, He'll guide us. He'll provide for us. He'll protect us. He'll give us rest and take care of us. He loves us so much that if we follow and obey Him, we can actually be His friends and develop a personal relationship with Him that leads into eternity. The Bible says eternal life starts, but it starts right now. You don't have to wait till you die to enjoy life with God. Because He loves us, the Bible says that God gave. He gave us the greatest gift possible. He gave His very best. Just like we give our children. Don't you try to give your kids the best you can? Not everybody can afford what everyone else can, but God gave the very best of all. He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus. Jesus came to bring us to God. I don't know why my life, I don't know why your life was so important to God that He sent His best, but He did. He allowed His Son to go to the cross and die for our sins, and I'm just thankful He did. Aren't you? Aren't you thankful? Now, I love many people in this world, and I know what it is to love, but I also know what it is to lose someone you love. And some of you know what that's like. Knowing those two feelings and knowing that God chose to allow His perfect, blameless Son to die for me, it still amazes me every time I think about it. It's one of the most amazing facts of the universe. And it fills me with gratitude. But here's the best part. It's for whoever believes in Him, in Jesus. This is the greatest faith there is. It's not just for one group of people or one nation. It's for all people, no matter what nationality, no matter what religion they have. It's for everyone. Everyone who believes in Christ will receive what? A double gift, right? The faith in Christ comes with the greatest reward, a two-part reward. First of all, shall not perish. Jesus paid for your sin by dying for you. The Bible says the soul that sins, it shall what? Die. But Jesus paid that penalty for our sin, for mine and for yours. He did it so that you could have eternal life. Instead of the endless rebirths of reincarnation, instead of hoping and hoping you have enough good works only to find out at the end that you don't, you can spend eternity with the God who loves you because of Jesus. Jesus' resurrection proves that death is not the end. It proves that death is not the end. And it's interesting to me, all the stories we hear. I remember a number of years ago, there was a book published by a neurosurgeon from Lynchburg who actually was brain dead for a week and then came back. He looked at all the records. He said, I was dead. But he said, but I was somewhere. I was somewhere. Okay. He didn't know where yet, but we know. And the Bible says that we can have eternal life with God if we put our faith in Christ. You know, the world says you won't have any fun if you choose Christ. But listen to me, life with Jesus is greater than any other life there is. You can pursue what many people call good times, wild living and partying. But let me suggest you check with someone that's been there and done that. And they'll tell you that it's emptiness. It leaves you empty. You know, a pig enjoys its mud and slop, but I don't want it. I don't want it. Once you have Jesus, you can't imagine a life without Him, can you? I've talked to a lot of people going through trials, and we both agree that's what you have Jesus for. That's why we have Jesus. And all we have to do is believe, ask, and receive. It's a gift. And you know, when I put my faith in Christ, it changed me completely. It changed me from the inside out. It didn't make me perfect, okay? I still struggle with life. I have a friend who one of the mottos in their church is it's a place where you can struggle honestly with life. Church should be like that, right? None of us here are perfect people, but we have a perfect Savior. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? I'm glad. Folks, Jesus claimed to be the way. the only way to God, the way, the truth, and the life. He says, no one comes to the Father but by me. Here's what's interesting. He said he was the Son of God. He said he came to take away the sins of the world. He said that he and God the Father were one. He said those things, okay? No other founder of any religion ever claimed that. Krishna didn't claim that. Buddha didn't claim that. Muhammad didn't claim that. No good rabbi or teacher would claim what he did. So Jesus, with either who he said he was, or he was a liar, or he was a lunatic on par with a person that would claim to be an Easter egg. Okay? Those are the only three choices. Either he was who he said he was, a liar, or a lunatic. Okay? Those are the three choices, and you have to decide. But the Bible says that through Christ's death and resurrection, God offers a pardon to every one of us. A pardon for our sin. I don't know if you ever heard of George Wilson. In 1830, George Wilson was convicted of robbing the U.S. mail, and he was sentenced to be hanged for doing that back then. Okay? President Andrew Jackson, however, issued a pardon for Wilson, but he refused to accept it. And that went to the Supreme Court. What do you do if you issue a pardon and somebody refuses to accept it? Yeah. The Chief Justice Marshall concluded that Wilson would still have to be executed. A pardon is a slip of paper, wrote the Chief Justice, the value of which is determined by the acceptance of the person to be pardoned. If it is refused, it is no pardon. George Wilson must be hanged. 2,000 years ago, God issued a pardon through Jesus Christ. But just like in the case of George Wilson, it has to be accepted individually by each one for it to be effective. If it is refused, it isn't a pardon. Folks, the story of Easter is a story of God offering you and me a pardon through Jesus Christ. We accept the pardon. You don't deserve it. That's why it's called a gift. Okay? You don't have to deserve a gift. Let me ask you a question. What God do you serve? There's a lot of gods in the world. There's a God of money. There's a God of success, career, grades. There's a God of sports. Boy, that's a big one in America, isn't it? Okay. Your God is whatever has your heart. And someone says that what has your eyes has your heart. Isn't that interesting? What's your God? Even our beliefs, someone said, can become idols. Oh, we're more right than they are, what we believe. They can become an idol. What God do you serve? The God who created you said, you shall have no other gods before me. And when we serve another God, we're putting something before God. And that's sin. We offend him. Maybe you would say, well, Brother Christian, I really love my God. I really love my God. Well, that's possible. Anybody here a baseball fan? Anybody here a baseball fan? Got a few baseball fans here. You know, this year, the season started early, I think earlier than ever, March 20th, baseball season started. It's the 150th anniversary of professional baseball. I think we'd agree that baseball is one of the great American passions. Well, I read about a man, he was a big fan of the Boston Red Sox, big fan. And he fell in love and he married a woman who didn't care at all about baseball. So guess what she was on the days there were baseball games? She was a baseball widow. Have you ever heard of that? Yeah. Baseball widow? Yeah. She loved him dearly, but not his Red Sox. Okay? So, as you can imagine, this caused problems in the marriage. And finally, in desperation, the man went to get counseling. And the counselor asked him this question. He said, you love the Red Sox, but have they ever loved you back? You love the Red Sox. Have they ever loved you back? Let me ask you, has your God ever loved you back? Whether it's money or business success or grades or sport, has your God ever loved you back? Will it forgive you if you fail it? Jesus Christ is the only God who will forgive you when you fail. In fact, he knew when you would fail him, and he still died on the cross to forgive you. Imagine that. He wants you to know Him and love Him. He wants to forgive you and clean you on the inside. He wants to give you a new life. He wants to give you eternal salvation. He wants you to be born again. If you have not, will you come to Him and trust Him today to make you His child? I ask you, what is more important to you? The truth of God's love for you and your relationship to Him, or your traditions and fear of others, what others will say? Don't take a gamble with your eternal destiny. Accept God's free gift to you today of forgiveness, of peace and joy. He'll give you a new purpose in life. To become a child of God is very simple. Speaking of Jesus, the Bible says, to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God. If you sincerely seek the truth about God, and maybe you're struggling with that decision, and that's okay. That's okay, all right? Let me encourage you to go home today, and before you go to bed tonight, get down on your knees and pray and ask God to show you the truth about Himself. That's a prayer He loves to answer. If you have questions about your relationship with God, I would be glad to sit down with you and open the Bible and answer those questions from the Bible. Let me know. Let me know. But I plead with you, don't let your pride and your love of your traditions or your beliefs keep you from the truth of God's Word. Don't let your fear of what others may think keep you from following Jesus Christ. I want to challenge you today with my Father's challenge to me. It's time you lost your parents and got one of your own, if you haven't done that yet. Will you believe the truth about Jesus Christ and His death on the cross for your sin? He will forgive you and give you the peace and the comfort that you seek. I set before you the way of life and the way of death today. Will you choose the way of forgiveness? Will you choose the path of religious good works and hope that one day you'll have enough good works when you die? The choice is up to you. One is either a gift, the other is a gamble. You have to choose. You have to choose. God's gift or religion's gamble. I can't choose for you. No one can choose for you. But if you follow Jesus, you will know the peace and joy that I have found. And Christian friend, let me ask you this. Will you share the good news about Jesus Christ with someone else? Will you pray that God will maybe show you a person that needs to hear the truth of the gospel? You don't have to hit them over the head with it. But look for opportunities. There's all kinds of people willing to talk about religious things if we'll take the opportunity to get to know them and talk with them. Folks, almost 2,000 years ago, it was a sad Friday, but it was an awesome Sunday. The tomb was empty. Happy Resurrection Day. This changes everything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending Jesus Christ before we even knew we needed a Savior, sending Him to come and to live the perfect life that we should have lived, and to die the death that we should die for our sins so that we could receive the free gift of eternal life. We can never thank you enough. Thank you for your great love. Thank you for your mercy and for your grace. And I pray, Father, that you will make this church a great lighthouse in this community, pointing people, lighting the way for people to find Christ as their Savior and the peace and the joy that comes in knowing Him. I ask this in Jesus' name, for His sake. Amen. We're going to sing a closing song, and then we'll have a benediction. But let me encourage you, if you have questions about where you are in your relationship with God, don't leave today without settling that. I'd be glad to talk with you or pray with you. If you would like, just let me know.